Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hockey All. Whoops, hit the button twice.
False
we got
start.
Anthony Mangione. And how are you? False start.
Doing good, Russ.
That's good. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm looking at the scoreboard around the league. I got to tell you, of all the guys who have really lit up the scoreboard this year, the most quiet, Joe Pavelski with number 29 and 30 tonight. I mean,
yeah,
you forget about him.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. I mean, because the Sharks are, you know, they're sort of, you know, where they're standing right now. And since they're right. I mean, they're in the postseason picture, obviously, second place in the Pacific
mm-hmm.
Division. In terms of, you know, they're in the playoff hunt. But again, people almost with San Jose are in that whole. Well, we'll see where they're. You know, we'll see where they end up, and then we'll start talking
right.
at that point. And they're looking. You know, postseason start today. They're looking at a matchup with Vancouver. Likely, and it's not exactly a high sizzle. It wouldn't be a high sizzle series, although I think it would be. Pretty entertaining. But again, Pavelski, he's kind of become sort of. You know, you look at some of the other players that have been through San Jose, but he's always been a steady guy and has gotten better and better in terms of the scoring department throughout his career and has become really kind of a bellwether guy for them, especially this year.
All right, so before our guest calls in, Patrick Williams, we'll chat a minute about the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch this game, but I probably saw all I needed to see at the end when guys were just sort of standing around being spectators, and Nisimov got a fairly easy goal in overtime.
You got a pretty good barometer of how the Flyers pretty much played through a good portion of this hockey game. They were fortunate to be up 3-1 tonight. I mean, as fortunate as could possibly be. I thought the defensive effort tonight from Philadelphia was, I don't want to use the phrase non-existent, but it was pretty poor. And all four goals that were scored were absolutely defensive lapses. I really don't put anything on Ray Emery because fact of the matter is Ray Emery kept them in that hockey game tonight. By all rights, they probably should have been down 3-4, 5-1 in this game. The way Columbus was pretty much dominating play in their end. I mean, I literally said they could set up camps or tents and started cooking s'mores in the Flyers' offensive zone. That's how long they were in their end. I mean,
are we
going to
just say the season's over, or are we going to be nice and say that there's still a chance?
You're right on the edge here right now. I mean, Ron Hextall's got a really sort of. I know they're saying they're still earning points and everything in the standings, but I mean, you're at this point now. You're standing 7 points out, and it's a major. In my mind, it's a huge gap because you're giving up points to divisional opponents. Specifically a team that's behind you as well, who's got, by the way, a minus 25 goal differential, which is, you know, double yours. They're horrible. They haven't been good at all this season. They're sub 500 at home. You have a 3-1 lead. They're 0-20, by the way, after leading. They were 0-20 coming into this game, trailing after two periods. You knew that was the kiss of death for Philadelphia in that circumstance. Ooh, that's all that said, I'm like, yeah, good. You know, we know that's going to end tonight. And
speaking of kiss of death for Philadelphia, we're going to invite in Patrick Williams now. It's a good segue. And we're going to ask him what he would do if he were the Flyers. Patrick, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. What would I do? is there some – I'd probably –
Uh-oh, will you lose him?
What just happened? Did we lose him?
Uh-oh. Yeah, he dropped. We'll find out in a minute, but he'll keep us in suspense.
Get him back in there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll get back on there. It's not good, though. It's just not good.
No,
and
it's definitely not.
You sort of have to set up for being a seller at this point. You do.
I think at this point now, I think they're sort of moving themselves. I think it's been a lot of, you know, a lot of gamely said things to try to keep a sliver of hope for the players in the locker room. But I think realistically, yeah, I think Ron Hextall's got to be sort of lining things up here in terms of guys he's going to be moving off potentially. I think Braden Coburn, the names have already been bandied about, but I think Braden Coburn is going to be one name that's going to potentially be heading off, but we'll see.
We got Patrick back. We'll see. Okay. We'll see if he thinks the Flyers should be buyers or sellers. Patrick, what do you think?
Definitely sellers, although I'm not sure many people want to buy what they're selling. So, they're in a bad spot right now with the contracts they have and the age of that roster and the makeup of that roster. I think they're going to be in for a long, long rebuild, whether or not they want to be.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let's switch gears to the Winnipeg Jets. They make that big trade, and I'll before I ask you just to break down that trade, I'll let the audience in on something kind of funny. We had we tape early for our show, and we tape generally on Mondays for a Saturday show on XM, our Hockey Prospect Radio show. And this week's guest was Kevin Shevardayoff. You might have heard of him, and so he was on talking about his prospects and maybe gave us a little glimpse into the near future, perhaps, on at least one of them. And tonight, Shane got a text from Kevin because he probably said to him something like, hey, good trade. And Kevin basically said, well, he acquired Armia and he got Lemieux, so he'd have some other guys to talk about next show. But I have to tell you, from an organizational depth standpoint now, via prospects, they might even be ahead of the Sabres now. They might be number one in the league. But how did you take that trade?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Jets in the last 2 years have really, really, really restocked the whole franchise sort of top to bottom with prospects. And that's what they promised when they came here. That was going to be their method of rebuilding a franchise. And that came from Atlanta with very little. And they've done that. They've stuck to their word, and they've executed that plan so far. And they have a great prospect base now, and that trade only added to it. They got two pretty solid prospects to come in there now, and frankly, they didn't give up all that much considering what they got back, and especially given the circumstances. So I think the trade, all things considered, turned out pretty well.
Patrick, I know I want to say Evander Kane as a player. Your views on him and his time in Winnipeg.
Evander Kane. Where do you start with Evander Kane? A lot of potential. Some of it that was realized, and some of that went unfulfilled. For a lot of reasons, some of his doing, some of it the team's doing. They never quite found a line where he could fit in and do what he did best, and that certainly hurt his production after his first season here. He came in here his first season in Winnipeg. He had 30 goals, and he looked like he was going to be on pace to be a star, and injuries happened. He started having these clashes first with Claude Noel, then with Paul Maurice a little bit, and away it went. And then you got all the off-ice distractions that came in, and that obviously helped him to wear out his welcome here by the end. And I think he leaves his legacy in Winnipeg will be one of what could have been.
Now, thinking about that, knowing that he really has really his career is sort of up in the air, I think, based on the off the ice stuff and based on the fact that the 30 goal season's 4 years ago, and now you're talking about also, I think, losing a contract in Bogosian is the way I took it for Winnipeg, because let's face it, I don't think Bogosian's been what they wanted him to be for a while either. I'd have to think they're sitting in a pretty good position right now, because I got to believe Tyler Myers is going to play some pretty good defense in Winnipeg. I just think he was on a rudderless ship in a bad system. He showed some improvement last year. I think they did well getting him, and I think he'll actually flourish there. But what do you think?
That's what they're hoping for. They're hoping that they've completely remade themselves into this defensive-minded team, which is really strange after watching them for the first couple seasons they were here. They didn't have really any semblance whatsoever of defensive structure or anything. It was kind of 20 players on their own page. So now they've remade themselves into this defensive team, and I think what their plan is that they can take what Tyler Myers has in terms of raw talent, and they can fit him into that structure and into that system, and they can bring out the best in him. They think the real Tyler Myers, is the player that we saw his rookie season win the Calder, not the player you saw in the past couple seasons in Buffalo where everything kind of just went off the rails. And how much of that was him and how much of that was the situation he was in? It's probably a little bit of both. I'm not that familiar with Buffalo's, details there, but that was a general message from both Paul Maurice and Kevin Shoveldayoff, that they think this is a player with a lot of raw talent. I mean, you look at his size, his shot, he's a good skater, all things considered, considering he's 6'8". They think they can make him into a great shutdown defenseman.
You'd say also, he may also have the opportunity here, whereas he was sort of expected to be more of a lead horse in Buffalo, understandably. So now with the blue line that's set in Winnipeg, he almost is set up at least to sort of be in somewhat of a, I don't want to use the phrase a sheltered role, but maybe starting off a little bit, sort of getting his feet wet on that blue line, and then sort of growing into that kind of more of a lead role as he gets older. We always know with a big guy, especially with a 6'8" defenseman, sometimes things have to take a little bit longer. And Maurice also seems to have his MO has always been a strong, having a strong defensive presence. Do you think again the whole situation in Winnipeg is just potentially a better opportunity for him to have the chance to grow?
I think so. I think for one thing, like you said, he doesn't have to be the guy here. He doesn't have to take the hardest minutes against the hardest competition. He can he's a little bit better than he was in Buffalo. The other thing is size is a big priority for Winnipeg, and if you look at their defense, that really bears it out. If Dustin Byfuglien, who's 6'5", he's 265 officially. He's a he's a monster out there. You have Jay Harris, and you have Jacob Trouba. You have a lot of size on that blue line. You have Mark Stewart, who's maybe not that big physically, but plays a very big game. And you have a lot of size there, and you add his speed to that. That makes him a nice fit. He actually played with Toby Enstrom the first game. It was a little bit funny to watch because Toby Enstrom was maybe 5'8 on a good day. you got Tyler Myers there, and you got Toby Enstrom, and it's an unlikely pairing, but it actually looked pretty well last night against obviously a very good Nashville team. So I think they see a lot of potential in Myers, and they think that they can work with him, and they can bring out everything he has.
So if you're getting a vote this year, and you never know, you might, and you never know, I might get a vote back. Dustin Byfuglien, is he gonna be a Norris Trophy guy? Is he? It seems like he's sort of worthy this year.
Yeah, I think if he played the full season, but he didn't play. He didn't start there till December 5th. He went there and he. About early February, then actually when the Evander Kane thing happened, he went back to forward and for a few games, and now he's back on defense for now anyway. Maurice really wants him to be a defenseman. Dustin Byfuglien definitely wants to be a defenseman. I think the big thing with this trade is they brought in two NHL bodies for the price of one current NHL body because Kane was injured. He wasn't coming back this year. That trade allowed them to do was to bring or to put Dustin Byfuglien back as a defenseman, which is his natural position. It's his most comfortable position, and it's a position where I think he's most effective. So that move was to bring in Drew Stafford. Drew Stafford was a little bit underlooked, I think, in the whole deal. But he let them, if he does nothing else but let them put Dustin Byfuglien on the blue line, he'll probably have done his job in this trade.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Stafford, I would say with Stafford, certainly, they could talk to you about the fact that he's a good swing guy for them, certainly. The fact that he could be plugged in a little bit higher if he needed to.
Yeah, he can play probably ideally suited for a third-line role, which is exactly what they needed. In a pinch, you can put him up on the second line. He actually started on the second line last night. And, he certainly won't look out of place. He had 31 goals a couple years ago, so we obviously know there's some talent there. And he's just one of those guys, you can plug him in. He's low maintenance. There's not a whole lot to his game other than, nice, simple up-and-down type of wing. And, frankly, it's what they need after Vander Kane. There was so much high maintenance there that to have a guy that you can kind of just plug in there and you let away he goes, that's going to be a nice change, I think, for Paul Maurice.
Yeah, I think that is a nice change, and I think that's a pretty good fit there. So, you know that the rumor is that the Winnipeg Jets were sort of the second call the Sabres made, and the first call was made to the Red Wings, and we all know the Red Wings wanted Myers. But I guess they want him bad enough because they didn't give up Dylan Larkin and Anthony Mantha. I kind of wonder what's your take on that? Because clearly to me that would have been a better score for the Sabres than what they got from Winnipeg. But were you surprised to hear about that offer at all?
A little bit, yeah. I think one thing that worked against that trade was that you're trading within the division. So that's always a little bit tougher, I think. If you trade Tyler Myers away and he goes on to play in Detroit and become a, Norris Trophy candidate, that's a tough trade to make. So that was one factor, I think. And then the other factor is I think they feel that if they have Evander Kane as a piece, either they keep him as a piece there or they can move him somewhere else and maybe bring something else back in exchange for that. I think Bogosian will go there. And I think it will be good for Bogosian. He needed a change. He needed a bit of a fresh start. And Buffalo is a little bit closer to home for him. He's from that area. So that's a good fit. And I think he'll do all right there. But as far as Kane goes, Kane's a wild card, I think, in the trade. You're never quite sure with Kane what you're going to get in terms of, obviously you know that he's a very solid on-ice player, but there's definitely an off-ice component that, however you feel about this stuff, it definitely is there's a certain cost to the oxygen that it all takes up, and it can be draining, I think, on the dressing room after a while, and I think that's what happened to Winnipeg. It's just, after a while, he's 23 now, sort of, those issues need to subside a little bit. You can only have so much drama, and I think Buffalo will find that if they can't make it work with him, they'll at least have a good piece they can move.
Patrick, I want to talk a little bit about, just to shift gears away from the deal, to discuss the Jets in terms of their goaltending situation. Hutchinson certainly was on a really great run. I know there's been a little bit of a dip in terms of performance overall, but in terms of long term, looking at this season, You see goaltending being better than it's been in past years, or is it enough not only to get the Jets into the postseason, but to help them possibly even be to get upwards in terms of a possible first round victory?
Yeah, first off, yeah, absolutely, it's better than any time it's been since they came to Winnipeg. For the first time, they have an alternative to Andre Pavlik that they can turn to if they don't feel like Pavlik is their guy at that moment. Michael Hutchinson has come in. He's another goalie. He's low maintenance. You can plug him in there. He bounces back well after a tough goal or a tough loss. He doesn't tend to let things snowball into something worse. So that's been a really good fit for him. I'm not sure, ideally long-term, he's a true number one. I'm not sure if he has that, to be a middle of the higher end number one, but they have Connor Hellebuck coming right up through this, there. I saw him a couple of weeks ago with the Ice Caps live, and he's a really intriguing prospect. He's had a great, great rookie season with the St. John's Ice Caps. You know, he'll probably need one more season there, just, you know, coming out of college. You know, he has to get accustomed to that, you know, pro workload and everything that comes with that. But I think probably in a year or so, he'll be ready to make that jump, and they'll have a nice combination with Hellebuck and Hutchinson, I think, long term. And Andre Pavlik probably is not, going to work out, but they're stuck with this contract that has two more years to run after this. So if they can get that done, they can move on and, you know, not have nearly $4 million on the books in terms of a cap hit for Pavlik. That would be a big relief for them. I don't think they'll be able to move that deal, though, before it expires.
Yeah, I think Hellebuck's the best goalie they have. But I got to say, the way they got Hutchinson, was there any word as to why Boston just sort of gave him up like that? Is it just because, hey, we've got Rask and Subban, so I guess we don't have to worry about Hutchinson anymore?
No.
Was it that?
I mean, they had so much goaltending depth. They had Subban, they had Rask, they had Nicholas Sudberg. Go right down the list. I think Hutchinson got a little bit lost there. He didn't quite stand out enough, I guess, amid all those prospects. So, to his credit, he signed with Winnipeg. Winnipeg didn't promise him anything. They only promised him an opportunity. He went down to the ECHL for the first half of last season. Dominated down there. Then there was an injury in St. John's. He got a shot up there. Took the team all the way to the Calder Cup final. He moved up to the NHL this year, and he took the opportunity, and he ran with it. He didn't get much playing time the first month of the season, but with his second NHL game, he went into Chicago and tossed a shutout against the Blackhawks. So that's a good way to get the coach's attention and to open up some eyes, and since then he's struggled a little bit lately, but he's a young kid with a really good head on his shoulders. He doesn't get down on himself. He's got an exceptional work ethic, and there's a lot to like about him. At the very least, he'll give them a nice maybe a bridge goalie until Hellebuck's really ready to go and maybe be a full number one in the NHL, but he's not a bad option for right now, and I think they like him a lot.
Is there a possibility we may, as we get later into the season, depending on what happens with Halifax, is there a possibility you might be seeing late in the season Nikolai Ehlers? Because I was watching him this evening, and he put on a stick-handling clinic on an offensive zone rush, and he looks like he has that kind of just magical offensive burst. Do you think it would be something that Cheveldayoff would consider if, say, Halifax is out?
No, I think the Jets are a very, very patient team with their players. They don't want to rush anybody. Everybody, I think they're going to almost adopt that New Jersey Devils philosophy of, everybody will, even if you're a high-end pick, you're probably going to see some time in the American League, and you're going to learn the pro game and both sides of the puck and everything that goes with that, and you're going to become a full pro, and maybe you'll spend a little bit more time in the AHL than you need, but the thinking is better to err on that side rather than to rush up there. Especially this season with the playoff race, I think they don't want to go down that road and open up that can of worms. That's a lot of pressure for a young kid, and he needs some work on his game anyway at the pro level. He was here in preseason. You can definitely see the offensive ability, but the defensive side of his game is a little bit suspect at this point, at least at the NHL level. So, but he's a great young prospect. They really like him. He's hardworking. He's a low-maintenance kid. And give him a year or two, and I think he'll be another young player that comes in. So, I mean, it goes back. I mean, they have just a really impressive, reservoir of just really intriguing young prospects. You look at Nick Petan, Brandon Morrissey, or Josh Morrissey, what am I saying? You're on down the list. You have goaltending, a little bit of everything at all the positions, and they're intrigued, and I think that this is, you know, Kevin Seldaf takes a lot of heat in this market, and some of it is probably justified. You know, he's a young general manager learning his job. You know, and there's been some mistakes, I think, but you can't really question the commitment he's made to the draft and develop aspect
no
of
way.
The job. And I mean, what he's built there in a couple of years in terms of prospects is really impressive.
All right, so with a couple minutes left, A, is Winnipeg a lock? And B, if they are a lock, who do they not want to see in the first round?
Well, no, I don't think they're a lock. I might have thought they were a lock a couple of weeks ago, but then they had that five-game losing streak. And now Minnesota's gotten red hot. I mean, they're what, 9-1 in their last 10? So that's allowed everyone to close the gap in on them. They're now trying to fight off. So basically, they're going to be a wild card team at this point. So they're, you know, there's about five teams there fighting for two spots. So some of those teams I think have a better chance than others. I think, you know, obviously Calgary and Vancouver, you keep waiting for Calgary to fade away. They haven't faded away yet. You figure Vancouver will be in here at the end. So that's two teams. I have to think the LA Kings are going to have something to say before the end of the season. I just can't see them fading from the race. You know, this is Cup champion team. Dallas Stars, you know, they're hanging around. So you got five teams there that are competing. I think the Jets have a decent shot, though, you know, to make the playoffs. As far as who you don't want to play, they do not want to play the Nashville Predators. you don't want to face Pekka Rinne in a playoff series to start with.
That would be a
tough introduction for. This is a franchise, remember, that's never won a playoff game. And their only appearance in 2007 against the Rangers, and it was over before you knew it. It was over. So you probably want a little bit more of a positive experience, even if you don't win the series. You don't want to go in and play Nashville and get your doors blown off. So ideally, I think for them, they would get to play Chicago. They've really had a real run of success against Chicago this season. They went into Chicago, beat them all three times this year, outscored them 10-3, and shut out, you know, for Michael Hutchinson. So that would be ideal. I just don't feel like the standings will shake out that way. So the other possibility looks like it would be Anaheim. Anaheim, again, obviously not an ideal team to play, but I think they would take a chance on Anaheim. I think they played Anaheim tough in two of the three games this year. The first game was a bit of a blowout, but the other game went to both games went in. One went to overtime, one went to a shootout. So they can clearly play with Anaheim, and they can hold their own. And, you know, if you get Anaheim into a long series, you might have a shot. So I guess if they had to pick I don't think they'll have a choice here, you know, because I think they'll be happy just to get in, period. But, you know, I think if they had a choice, they'll take Anaheim and they'll take their chances.
All right, Ant, you got the last question.
Okay. One quick question I do want to ask you is about, I know there have been a lot of talk about, you know, the Heritage Classic and things sort of fell through for Winnipeg with regards to that. What are they looking at long-term in another year or so potentially to host one of those?
Yeah, it won't be next year. Possibly the year after that, but then that gets into the NHL 100th anniversary, so there's going to be competition for the outdoor games and all sort of thing. So it might actually even get pushed even back further to the year after that. But I don't think they're in any rush. You know, at that point, if it's in 3 years, they possibly could be, you know, really top team in the league, and, you know, they could be one of the more marquee teams in the league in terms of, you know, their ability to compete. So ticket sales here are great, you know. I mean, the building sold out every night, so you don't really have to worry, like, you don't need a gimmick or anything like that to sell tickets here, you know. And frankly, I don't know. I don't know how many people here are dying to sit out in the cold in Winnipeg in the wintertime. it's -30 tonight in Winnipeg, so if that gives you any idea, it could be a bit of a tough 3 hours out in the elements there. So, Yeah, so they'll get it when they get it. They feel pretty confident that the league will give them one at some point. And, you know, this, if you remember, this is a city that was patient for 15 years to get their team back. So to wait a year or two longer
for an opportunity.